You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hey.
Niall.
Yeah, man.
And me, Brian. This week's episode, we are covering anime that aired from the 30th of October to the 5th of November. Remember it? With the solitary exception of Bono Bono, where we are still about 6 or 7 or 8 weeks behind.
Yeah. I just want to say up front, this is a good week in anime for homages to the Liam Neeson film Taken, for men all men make threatening phone calls to gangsters.
Yes. Hmm. Yep. And, those two episodes worked better than some stuff this week. Starting up, though, the ever-dependable, we can always count on him, is Bono Bono. I go on a journey.
Are they just trying to get us to name the show after Bono Bono?
No, it doesn't say let's go. We're fine.
It does have a go in it.
It does, yes.
So it probably will be let's go on a journey. Oh, damn it.
Yeah. It's making the... It's trying to get the votes in, all right?
No hanging fruit.
So Bono sees a cloud, and his dad goes, hey, he's wondering what's under the cloud. And he says, Dad says, why don't you go take a look? Take your first journey on your own. Mm. And he's excited about doing this, but eventually turns around and spots his dad following him in a cunning disguise. Mm. Which clearly
like
was
father, like son.
Yeah. I was going to say, clearly yes. It worked for a bit, because the first time he turned around, he couldn't see his dad.
I think it was the same problem we've seen before. When you're in the middle of a field, there's not much place to hide as a bush, I guess.
Yes.
Hmm.
And he explains that he was going on a journey to see what Bono's journey was like. He wasn't
so
following
him. It's still solo. It still counts.
And Bono points out, like, why don't we just travel together?
Hmm.
That's a good one.
They find a very nice view, and from that view they see something which might be a new creature they've never seen before. And they go down, and it's a snake swallowing a frog.
And they're terrified.
Yes.
Yeah, and they unfortunately have to see the conclusion of that when they make their way to go home.
Yeah. The snake at the frog. Spoilers, I suppose.
And all of us have memories, so whenever they look over at that mountain, they can imagine that that frog being devoured whole.
And some other stuff. They imagine what if a sea suddenly appears? What if a giant anemone suddenly appears out of the sea?
Yeah, and that's where Bono draws the line as to disasters that could befall them.
Yeah. Because he goes all scribbly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're upsetting him.
Yes. Bono's being upset by an adult face.
Yeah, there were several moments that made me laugh at this, like them reacting to each other, basically kind of the same, where one of them does the sweat drops and the other one sweat drops to that guy's sweat drops, that kind of thing. It works pretty good.
And that's it for shorts this week, because there was no Gomachan, but good news, there is one next week.
There is.
Ms. Minami's glasses next week.
It's very good. I've looked into the future.
I did read the Google Translate description on the website, and I was like, that sounds like a good episode. So,
oh, it's good.
I shall look forward to that. Now, in order of poorly animatedness, at least to begin with, let's start with Classicaloid, season 2, episode 5, which was called, what was it called?
A great man.
That's it, yes. There's a great man in this. There is some piss-poor animation. Not even animation, I would say. There's just some really bad shots, and almost everything is off-model throughout the entire episode.
I feel like this happened before, when it was also a thing where loads of people's minds were getting taken over.
Yes.
In Classicaloid. Like, whenever they have to do crowd scenes, they just go, fuck it, we have to draw lots of people, fuck the budget.
Maybe.
Possibly, but I thought you meant the plot, because this is, again, Schubert's power leaking out all over the place.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen this, is what I'm saying.
Yes, this, well, the baby one, though, was one of the best episodes ever of the first season.
That's true,
season.
Though, yeah.
Can't
law of diminishing
returns. Lightning again.
No. So, this time he's become a reggae star called The Great, and he's basically brought about world peace.
While in the last few episodes, while the lads have been fucking around.
Yes. Which is great. That means the characters haven't noticed that this has been happening.
That, That's how self-centered they are, that the world is at peace.
They don't even know who he is when he turns up at the door.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm fine with Sosuke being like a late kind of comer. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the hip new sound. You know, kind of, it's fine for him because, yeah, he's just a Klingeron anyway. Despite, maybe they were distracted by starting that religion, actually, now that I think about it.
At the start of the episode, Kanai's threatening to leave, which has the great bit of List seeing right through her empty threat.
Mm.
And then you get the inner monologue from Kanai. God, she's seen right through me.
Too good.
I'm pretty sure you can just call the police. You know, I'm just saying that option is available to you.
List isn't doing anything wrong.
No, she's
they're living in her house.
She's paying the rent, though.
I thought List had stopped paying the rent since they discovered the plot and stuff. I thought they cut off her credit card.
No, I think in the very first episode, she points out that Chopin and List are paying the rent. That's why they get to stay in their rooms.
And that's
why Mozart and Beethoven have to live in the basement.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah, they do make a point because obviously Mozart and Beethoven are going to complain that they're being picked on.
Mm-hmm.
As they do multiple times in this episode. And at first, Wagner's okay with Kanai being influenced by this music because it's apparently this will give him a chance to do whatever he's plotting without her interfering.
And his outside excuse is, it's made my sister very happy.
Yes.
Or relaxed, I guess, more so.
But then eventually it goes too far for him.
Nope, that's too reggae relaxed.
Yes, and then she just tears Schubert to shreds all over again.
Yeah, he's an easy guy to knock down, isn't he? I'd say he's like a musical chameleon, but everyone takes the piss out of him for it.
Well, this is after Beethoven's tried to fight him with his music, and he's just absorbed his music.
Because reggae just takes in influences from outside music, man.
Yes, that's the... But also, obviously, that's the metaphor for Schubert, is that, yeah.
Yeah. He takes stuff on board and kind of builds on it, yeah.
Yeah, before Ryder was saying, oh, well, you just used to get like a kind of a sponge. You haven't got any personality to begin with. Like, oh, mate. He's trying, man.
I'm sorry. Who made World Peace? Was it you, little boy?
Yeah, I was going to say, technically, he achieved what Bach was trying to achieve in the first season.
Yeah, by accident. By getting caught up in a kite and not landing in the land that he was actually intending to, but Jamaica instead.
Mm. Yeah, there's the sense that he's the most powerful, but yeah, he doesn't have the discipline to channel it.
Well, he turned the cast into fish by accident as well. So, yeah.
And then, yeah, there's another little dig that Beethoven does to Wagner of, what does he call him? It's not failed gyoza, it's something along those lines.
Botched
gyoza. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So
he doesn't know that's such a deep and cutting insult to him. Except due to the reaction, but obviously we know as viewers that there's something even deeper going on there in his past. And the fact that we haven't seen him do music yet, so it's the question of, can he actually do it? Is that what's broken with him?
Maybe.
But yeah, can it be driven home enough that this is an ugly looking episode?
Unfortunate, because there's a lot of good stuff in there still, but yeah, it does take from it.
Anything else we've missed to add?
The plot seems to arrive next week, or
maybe they're threatening it anyway.
Yeah, they'll probably just hint it for a bit and then carry on.
Get distracted by sitcom zaniness.
Yeah, I don't know how long this season's due to go on for. I know Mr. Osomatsu, they've now announced it's 2 cores worth, as they say.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they're all going to look like this, I'll be fine with it being over after 12 or 13 episodes, to be honest. I mean, the last two episodes did look okay, and they were well done, but that's two out of five now have been pretty grotty looking.
Yeah, you want to get that average over 50%.
And then moving on to other ugly looking things, Garrow episode 5. What was the title? I haven't got
Ring.
Ring.
That's it, yes. This has got lots of off-model stuff as well.
Yep.
Lots of stuff with people's faces not looking right.
So it's slightly melting on their heads, yeah.
Again, it was a busy party, so...
Yeah.
Now, what it did have going for it is the great gag of Sword not being able to fit into his dinner suit. Yeah.
if it's one thing of he eats like at least two comically large Fred Flintstone-sized steaks in this episode, but also he looks like a gorilla in a suit.
Yeah. And the fact that he has to be the honey trap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good twist on it. All right.
Well, she likes him big and beefy.
That's why she needed him for this con. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the ones with Gina so far because it's just yes, she just comes in. Okay, Sword, I got a job for you. Okay, well, what's the heist, Gina?
Yeah. And it's more so he's very unwilling in all of these because he generally gets the shit job, where she gets to look cool. Yeah.
Yeah. She does so. She's like a former actress, and she's working some kind of counseling thing for children to make them behave better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, to improve the relationships or something. It wasn't entirely clear what the thing was, but the reason she suspects her is because she was like a shite actress, and then she kind of just all her opponents or all her contemporaries like died in mysterious circumstances. Well, that's probably something, right?
Also, the children aren't coming home. That's probably
a
big giveaway.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. No one seems to care, but whatever. I guess police work is just shite in this world. There's constant missing persons.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a bit, some of these rich families, they don't give a damn about their offspring. They couldn't just kind of ship them out to boarding school and forget about them for 10 years.
I mean, like, the police are eventually going to go, hey, where's that child that we know you have? Because we have it on the books, like...
They're right? Studying in Zurich.
I couldn't quite. Is it that she thought she was summoning horrors and hadn't realized she was actually a horror herself?
Yeah, she thought it was like. Yeah. Gina's. It's like, oh, people would pay a pretty penny for a summoning circle. And everyone's like, Gina, how do... We got to say, the little kids like tagging along that being the kid part of the equation.
It needed to be a family for the scam to work.
That's their in. but yeah, she said, it's like, I could sell the summoning circle. But she didn't summon a horror. It's like she summoned a horror into herself. And she thought she'd summoned a horror and had control over it.
Yeah.
And... she thought the cats were horrors or something?
I think that's what she thought. And then she thought she got a magic ring, but it was a fake.
Yeah. I assume the title of ring is to do with the non-fucking magical rings, the summoning circle thing, and also because they have to pretend to be married for the episode.
That's worthy.
it felt like a thing... There was bits I really enjoyed, but as a whole, it didn't work for me, and that was made worse. I think because it's so shallow that when it doesn't look good, there's not much there.
Yeah, I get you.
But yeah, it was that was a tough one to motivate myself to watch in the first place. But,
It's mostly just the things with Sword and trying to mingle at the party. My old businessman. Am I stuck to avoid going to hell in Indonesia? How are you doing, Bert? Oh, don't listen about Bieber. How about you? He just doesn't want to say.
I like the back and forth. He's just like, huh? Okay. Yeah. And he's like, we're doing very well.
We're all right. You know, nothing much to say. Nothing to tell.
Yeah. Pretty much all the best parts of the episode are him not being able to function like in a human society. Looking like an ape in a suit and not being able to hold conversations with people. Those are probably the better parts, all right?
The show seems to know that as well. Well, him and Gina, when Gina's also...
Yeah, Gina's fun. One.
She's fun. Like, haven't seen a man, what's his name, Luke, since episode 2.
That was the other thing I was thinking about watching this. So I was like...
What's he going to do? Just go around and brood, like...
Gonna make it rain again because I'm like, rain. I'm gonna forget about everything.
Have they not got a rotor pinned up on the restaurant's fridge?
It's a personal day again. Come on, that guy's gotta get some personal help.
Right, next up in order of things which look slightly off model, Inuyashiki. Episode 4, Samejima, in which the Yakuza are taken down.
I found this a very difficult watch, I'll be honest with you.
In just what way?
The rape, the rapiness, the super creepy rapiness.
Yes.
I felt really uncomfortable in my fucking skin, you know? I was just like, oh, God. Like, I know it's going to turn around, but I didn't know if it was going to turn around before or after a rape happens. But it just kept threatening it. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Really uncomfortable. Oh, this show's hard to watch.
it's a nice, I suppose, is wish fulfillment thing. It's like, oh, if I were a super cyborg, I go, man, I would get those jackets on watch for all the crimes I'm reading about in the newspaper. Just for enforcing justice in it all. But you can't read it that way, but I think it's a better part to just, like, like, the man. Inuyashiki, I've forgotten his first name.
Ichiro, I think.
Ichiro, yeah. It's just, like, they do a good job conveying, like, someone's like very kind of human response to seeing this injustice happen, like from form. Like he's kind of by turns, you know, filled with sorrow and full of blinding rage. He's kind of a seesaw between the two. He doesn't know where he's at. You know, I felt very kind of raw and realistic to me.
Yeah. And it's definitely going with that catharsis kind of thing.
Yes, but I think it goes one step further in being more intelligent about it, because it's trying to divide a line between him and Hero, is that he doesn't kill the Yakuza.
Yeah.
He blinds them and paralyzes
them. No, he punishes
them
essentially. Yeah.
That's kind of worse.
It is.
Yeah, but he thinks, like, from his point of view, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but from his point of view, he thinks that since they can have to have someone else wait on them and feed them and fucking take them to the crapper and shit like that, that they'll eventually feel remorse. He's giving them the time to feel that. You know what I mean? I think he thinks he's doing them a favor. Because obviously, very clearly, with his constant going like, oh God, he believes in God. And so he probably believes in like them being able to save their immortal souls by living a life of horrible fucking blindness and paralysis and everything. it's just the fact that he's inflicting that on them is problematic, sure.
Well, it's not, these guys don't deserve it. So some kind
I mean, like that one
retribution.
Guy definitely did. Yeah, sure. I can't speak as to what criminal acts the other guys did.
Well, they've allowed the system to persist that allows that other
True.
Guy to behave.
They just laugh at him for being a lunatic, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's quite clear from that meeting. It's like, oh, they could do something. They know how he behaves.
They know what he's doing. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And they're not doing anything to stop it. Unlike the comic, he didn't look like a Gantz alien. There's a panel.
He's huge.
Yeah,
but...
he's huge. In the comic, I'd forgotten that she's supposed to be short as well when I went back and looked.
They specify that in the third.
In the comic, he comes across a bit more as an alien. And this is a lot of chapters crammed into this.
God, I can't imagine reading this fucking thing, dude.
This is a pretty straightforward like turn of events as they go. This is like a good chunk of chapters. That would be excruciating.
Oh, it's not because I
trouble with 20 minutes, dude.
it's the action stuff, which is the stuff which he's drawing out.
Okay,
so
right. I thought you meant like it was like the first half of this episode as several chapters.
No,
I was
if anything,
like, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
I would say if anything, the stuff at the start of the episode should be drawn out is her attacking him with the sword.
Right. The
scene.
Action stuff again. Yeah.
But I think that's the key difference about the story is a normal version of this story would be the guy goes in and kills everybody, and that's the thing which sets it apart is the way. He deals with it with his lasers.
He's not going to let them do what they're doing anymore, but he is going to he's not going to like just straight up become a murderer.
Yes. Yeah, because it made me think, what would the Punisher be like if he was doing this in all the Punisher comics rather than just
they'd all be dead, yeah.
Murdering people. But I was thinking the Punisher might be more interesting if he was just leaving in his wake multiple crippled criminals rather than just straight up murdering
would
them
be more,
all the time.
It could be a more interesting guy, all right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it could be kind of more effective in a way.
Yes.
This is what would happen to you.
Yeah, because the threat stays there. Rather, once somebody's dead and buried, people might then forget. Whereas, yeah, if criminals know a criminal who's still alive but is in that position, then it's going to linger on their minds longer.
I mean, like, it wouldn't quite work in the, like, Marvel Punisher, because they just turn into cyborgs or something.
That is true, yes. You make a good point.
That has happened several times, so...
Or you stitch your face together and call yourself a Jigsaw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you got to remember that that's in a comic, and yes, you got to apply the rules, yeah.
Well, I know what happens next week, so... Good luck with all that.
God, is it getting more than this? Oh my heavens.
I know it's going to get worse than this, dude. It's just like this steady... It was like this episode. But watching this episode is kind of like a little bottle of how this show is. It's just like, yeah, I know they're going to get beat up in the end, but fucking hell, this is uncomfortable right now. I might, if it continues on like this, I don't know if I can handle this show,
I would
dude.
Say next episode is... It's different again. Mm. But it's different in a way that I'm not sure people are going to be okay with.
I wouldn't blame anyone for dropping the show this episode.
That might not be next episode. That might be the episode after. I think I know what happens next episode. Mm. I'm getting I hadn't realized how far ahead I read. Now I know what happens next episode. Next episode is probably the stuff people want to see happen.
Okay.
And then the bad stuff.
Well, no, the stuff I'm saying, which I think people will say is bad, isn't anything like the bad, quote-unquote, bad stuff we've seen so far.
I'm not saying it's a bad show. I just find it profoundly uncomfortable to watch.
No, it'll get more uncomfortable. Don't worry. That's the thing. Yeah, it'll be uncomfortable.
I am worrying.
It'll be uncomfortable in a brand new way that it hasn't been uncomfortable yet.
That means I can't grow accustomed to it.
I know.
Extra layers of anguish. It's like an onion of pain.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to put it. Now. Extra layers of anguish.
Jeez.
It's a bit like this of not doing quite the thing you'd expect it to do in the genre. It's it. Yeah, we'll see. But next week, I think I remember what happens next week. And I think people will like that. Righty ho. Next up, Magical Circle Guru Guru, episode 17. Beat it, Eru Eru Village. I had to go back and grab some people's names for this.
There's a lot of. There's a bunch of old men who I'm like, shit, what were their names?
Now, is it me, or are the characters designed slightly different in this episode?
They're a little bit different. Something there.
Yeah. Their necks are a little skinny. I think the arms and the limbs are a little longer. I don't know whether that's deliberate to make it look like they've grown up a bit, or whether it's just a different set of people doing these episodes.
Well, yeah. It feels like they're less of the kind of chubby, tiny, cute people that they are. I don't know what the deal is with it. Mm.
Remember now as well, with story, this is uncharted territory for Magical Guru Guru, and
that's true as well. Yeah,
and you can kind of feel it in the pacing of this one towards the previous previous ones. It's like there's like a noticeable sort of downshift in gear, I think, in this episode.
I think we've had slow episodes as slow as this one before.
Yeah,
but it's
or it'll
still...
turn out. I can have a look and see exactly. Hell, it'll probably turn out that it is running at exactly the same pace, and maybe the comic slowed down.
Ah, right.
Perhaps.
Because I could check. Yes, they're in the desert. Unfortunately, Gipple had to go away to attend his grandmother's memorial.
His
granny's mass, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. And I mean, like, I guess that's going to happen sometimes, sure. I mean, like, he does show up in the episode to make faces at cheesy lines in the background. Yeah. That's all right.
So that happens. So they faint in the desert, but they're saved by a girl who we later learn is called Kuroji. While he's out unconscious, though, Nikkei sees a vision that he needs to find the King of Earth, whose name
Did he not already know that he needed to do that?
Well, maybe he didn't know that it was nearby.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Opore. Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Opore.
Who we learn later. Kuroji says he shouldn't bother seeking him out. Because we learn later that he's run out of power because the people of the village haven't been doing their celebrations of him with their drums.
It's kind of like a vicious circle. They're not celebrating because they're getting attacked by monsters, but he can only protect them from monsters if they celebrate him. That kind of thing?
Yes.
Mm.
And we run into Clemente and Schnevel. Clemente is a light wizard who can train people in... And he's, Schnevel is his current protege and would-be hero.
Except he keeps like hanging out in the back room when all the action's happening.
Yes.
Mm. He kind of looks like what Nige turns into anytime he thinks he's being really cool.
Yeah.
And he points out that while Nike's pretty powerful with his razzle-dazzle sword, that he's going to teach him how to do the light magic ability, Cool Pose.
You'd be a real hero if you know Cool Pose.
Yes.
That was pretty fucking class, I gotta say. I did like it when he starts doing that, like, on repeat in the background, and you can just see the flash off it. That was a good joke.
Cooker's feeling a little kind of just because, like, Nike is, you know, he's training, getting stronger, but then not. I'm gonna get stronger. I'll try and draw my own circle and see if I can get out of it.
Yeah, because she did make that kind of, not a boast, but that thing in the last episode where she's like, I'll make my own circle to defeat, is it Giri? Giri is the... Just Giri, sorry. I'm repeating fucking things now. What was the first one? She sees a cat, and she's like, oh, I'll draw a cat one. But then the cat starts pooping, so she draws a farting cat, and that counts. That's a new one. she then summons an army of... like cloning cats or something. I don't know. She's kind of on a cat thing.
Yeah.
They need to be defeated by Cool Pose. And Nike's training in Cool Pose comes in handy because that works. Mm.
This brings the rousing up to attention. He seems to be a very, very, very muscular man wearing nothing but like a kind of a straw tunic and a crown.
Yeah, I think they make mention that he looks like the North guy's freaking friend or something, because he looks weird is basically what they're trying to say.
Yeah, but doesn't make, you know, get me this festival going on, and then I'll be able to teach you to the earth sword, because right now I'm not able to do it right now. So they do that, and they have a big dance festival, and I go, well, of course they know, and North shows up then, because hey, if there's dancing happening, you better believe I'm going to be involved in that.
That's like it. There's been a dance contest once where he didn't show up, so he was disappointed, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the manga. Yeah, okay, yes, you are absolutely right. This is different paced, because this is barely an adaptation of the manga.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They've swapped lots of stuff around, and stuff's got sliced out.
I felt like that, because the Earth King turns up in this, and then he's immediately gone again. It's like, I thought there'd be a bit more of a run-up at that.
The comic looks very different, and yet I think all the key scenes in this are out the comic, but it feels like there's lots of stuff shuffled around. I wonder whether they ran out of time. I wonder if the previous episodes...
Well, you think they were just sitting down and like, we'll just adapt those old episodes, and then they're like, oh shit, we got them to adapt.
Yes.
Quick.
I wonder if they needed to be even faster. Yeah, that's weird. Yes, I don't. It's curious. So it would be weirdly like we've had a much better adaptation of everything we've had before, as you say, which is closer to the comic, and then all of a sudden hit the new stuff. They've gone wild.
I suppose worst case scenario, if they don't like stick the landing with the remaining episodes, we can always wait for another adaptation,
that's
which
true,
would be like 6 episodes, just, and it'll just cover the whole fucking thing.
Give
like,
it
so
another
quick.
23 years, and we'll be sorted.
We'll see. I mean, like, it's not gotten that bad yet, obviously.
No. It's yes, but yeah, you're right. I went back. Yes, looking at it's very different. It's like they meet Clemente and Schnevel before they meet Apori's daughter.
Right. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I had all the kind of same kind of jokes and kind of humor in there, but it felt sort of kind of standard. As these things go, maybe because Gipper wasn't around, you couldn't intervene and try and steer it away from the cliche. It felt a little more that way.
Mm.
I did enjoy when he shows up we see him in the background those few times, but when it reaches its peak, yeah, he almost fills the screen with disgust.
But he can't. It's like watching a horror movie at home. It's like, no, don't come in the room, but you can't do anything about it.
So you've got Raid shows up in his golem. He gets the Earth Razzle Dazzle Sword.
Which can cut through anything that walks on the earth.
Yes.
I think was the thing of it.
And it turns it into sand after it's been cut.
And it's plugged in.
Yes.
Because it has to be connected to the ground.
And then they're going to go on their way, and Karuji summons some earth elementals who build them a desert boat. It's a bathtub, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's coin operated because it's established that she's a greedy motherfucker. I mean, like, she's providing good services. I can't deny that.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed this, watching it first thing this morning. But then when I went back to this afternoon to get the names, I was like, this doesn't look quite as good as I remember it looking this first thing this morning. She's always, right, cartoons always look better when you watch them first thing in the morning.
Well, probably not Inu Yashiki. I don't think that's a good way to start your day.
Get you full of the joys of spring. Put a bounce in your step as you step out to go to work.
Boy, I'm sure glad those Yakuzas were fucking really messed up by the end of that episode.
You see, every time you close your eyes, you can just see it, their eyes getting burned up by millions and millions of lasers.
Oh, dear.
Right. It's completely thrown me now, the non-adaptation nature of this. I'll have to regroup my thoughts for next week.
Right.
Anyway, on to surer things. Ancient Magus' Bride, Episode 5, Love Conquers All. I don't have access to the comics, so I can't check.
Well, it seemed fine to type everything that happened last week, so... It's okay. And definitely to make it solidify in your mind that, yes, sorcerers are bastards.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty fucking clear from... I mean, everyone picks up on it straight away. It's like, I'm sticking with this guy because he's been pretty cool to me so far, and you've been threatening me with a knife, so fuck you guys.
Yes.
But that guy in the past is just a real piece of shit. I can see why they have a bad name.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe that guy in the past is the series' main villain.
Yeah, good, because he needs to get his ass handed to him. Yeah, and with a title like Love Conquers All, I thought this episode was going to be a lot more positive. I think because we've been set up for what happened in the past, it wasn't as shocking. It was still fucking horrible, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure for ways to resolve this, it was as good as it could get.
It's more so an end to a shitty time rather than an improvement on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not that I was expecting that. I was just like, oh, with that title, I wonder if they're actually going to have the super happy ending. It's like, yeah, kind of just the bittersweet, melancholy ending. That's the best you can hope for here.
I haven't got much to add because this was one of the things I struggled to find time to properly watch. So,
It was nice. As well, just was because of the nature of who she is, what she says. She kind of had they were kind of set on one solution to this problem, but just by nature of her being there, they had to find another kind of better way, and she's kind of seeing as sort of, well, I've always been brought up for most of my life, and being told I'm a worthless waste of flesh, but just the fact that if I happen to be there, I can afford this, I was able to kind of bring these souls to peace, so that's kind of helping her to get maybe a little bit of her own self-worth back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely one thing it's going for with that. I really liked I liked them in that they were fucking horrible, but the kind of horror elements of this one.
Yeah.
The shots of it's like, what's going on in that cabin in the woods, it's just like, oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. And I think this has done a better job of selling your soul to the devil kind of thing than Garo has managed so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And as well, like, really like you can see where the guy's coming from and you can see why he's doing these terrible things. And it really like tempts him into doing wrong. But it feels a lot more believable. You can see the slippery slope of it, I suppose.
Yeah. As well, though, you see the lady Mina, you see like her ghost, and she, we're seeing her. I watched when she was alive, and you knew she was like kind of sickly and frail. You know, I thought, well, obviously she must have like passed away because of her illness. No, she got it really, really bad.
Oh, because how it kind of goes is you assume that the blight or whatever the hell they're calling that big slime thing is the guy, his corrupted soul, fucking turning into this massive fucking cancerous crap. Just bubbling horribleness.
It's best way, if you've ever seen depictions of Shoggoths.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But that it turned it around to be her, that he kept feeding her cats was the implication. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was what was left of her kind of thing, what happened to her. And your man's fucking reaction to that is like, huh, experiment failed. Oh, well, live and learn. Thanks, buddy. The sorcerer motherfucker. Oh, Jesus, what a bastard.
I'm guessing that's Titania in the preview.
Hmm.
Who's showing up to see Elias's bride.
All right. I'll call around and see the happy couple.
Yes. one thing I did give my full attention to, though, was Blood Blockade Battlefront, Episode 5, One Butler's Blitzkrieg.
Oh, yeah, I was looking forward to this one.
Yeah, this solidified in my mind the idea that while the first season may have been a better show, this is a better adaptation of the comic.
The random adventures and stuff?
Yes.
I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because while the original was adapting stuff out of the comics, it got that line through, which tended
it wanted more like the episodes to be interconnected and everything.
Yes.
Yeah,
whereas this feels like, what the fuck are we getting this week? It could be anything.
Hey, how about this guy? Remember him? He's been in the background forever. What's
his deal? He's hanging around in the background. So cool. He knows he's going to do something great.
and we get to see what the deal is with that bandaged up butler. Sure, I mean, like, there's a story behind all those bandages, right? And yes, there is.
Yeah, and we have little hints of things which they can he can develop later, like they mentioned that Klaus is the third son of the Reinhardt family.
And that it's this big fucking deal, and that there's someone back in the old country still keeping a fucking eye on what the goings on over here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's obviously a whole bigger world.
Is it his brother or father? Who's, is this specified son? So does he have sisters as well?
Yes. they equally as socially inept? We don't know yet.
Just one line, but it suddenly blows up the possibilities of what's going on with Klaus.
The show's doing that really well, and it's already like, it's fucking Hell Salem's Lot. It's fucking huge and ridiculous, and it's like, well, we can blow up a fucking city block in this episode. It doesn't really matter, because like next episode there's still more of this crazy fucking world to be in. And like in the last episode, it was just like, oh yeah, she's part of a different super team as well, don't worry about it.
And this episode we get a guy whose belly can be turned into a pub to trap people in.
It's a very one specific power, and that bone faced guy clearly like, okay, I know just the guy to get my revenge. dear. There's some good weirdness in this episode, and a proper fucking combat butler, goddammit.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't quite get the whole secret part of the organization bit, but other than that, he does pretty good. He just doesn't know how fucking crazy this world is.
Yeah. And we also have another guy because Gilbert gets injured on the job, so they send another butler in, Philip, to help him out. And he's new to the city, but he has the combat butler train, so he should be getting on all right. He's not in the least prepared for what actually comes. Like even Leonardo's got a better handle on this place than he does.
Yeah, I fucking love the thing of him like, oh, that guy robbed your wallet, I'll beat him up and shit. And it's like, I don't worry about it. The wallet's a fucking ruse, man. Look, check it out. I got money hidden all over me because I know I'm going to get robbed eventually. And they're going to go for my wallet because that's the obvious thing. And he's just like, okay. It's like, oh, don't say we're part of a secret organization because, you know, people will want to fucking, you know, torture you for the information that you know if they know you're part of it. And he's like, okay. he's very like, but I'm really good at what I do. And he is, but he just doesn't know the extent of the craziness of this place.
Like having your brain stolen.
After you went into a bar that was a guy's belly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they could sell your brain to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That fucking I was wondering how they're going to do that scene, but I like that they put in the tap tap noise and then just had the kind of the echoed voice of, you know, he's clearly speaking in Morse code or whatever into his back, is like, are you being coerced? You know, can raise your what's it, touch the left side of your face if that's the case. And he fucking pulls up his hair and it's like, oh shit, you got it pretty bad, bud.
It's okay because I've got a Batmobile.
Yeah,
it even does the fucking movie. Which Batman movie did it do where it became like the really skinny Batmobile?
It was Batman Forever.
That was one of those ones, anyway. And I was just like, yeah. Fucking hell, that car is great.
Yeah, but it didn't have the cool thing where it had, like, you know, one side of the car at half the angel fist, because yes. it had devil fist, and he puts it both together in the middle, and then, oh, he's coming to get you the rocket car with the laser guns and the battering rams and machine guns and fucking.
Like, just, yeah, the amount of freaking sheer artillery that thing brings, but also that the lads get to put a bit of blood out the side and start carving up motherfuckers.
They appear to have invited themselves. It seemed like he was going to go off on his own, but they weren't going.
Hey, he's not going to go anywhere without his PSP Monster Hunter buddies. Another thing I'm glad they kept. That was pretty good.
Oh, man. Oh, that's good.
It's good, and again, they add more to it. Obviously, he's indisposed in the hospital, so they get Klaus to play for him instead. We need a third guy. Come on, good stuff.
That's decisive with Gilbert's dog. He gets like so much just kind of just revealed about him and more just insight into him. And as I alluded to, like, you know, his phone call to the guys who stole Philip's brain, you know, he just gives him the options. You know, option one, give it back and nothing will occur. Option two, will attack
we'll
you.
Take it back, and attack. you're probably going to die a lot because, you know, it's going to be a big fight. And option three, you destroy the brain and we kill you all.
And then
you're not going to take option one, huh?
He's so kind of composed. Oh, option was off the table then. Well, fuck you, I'm going to fucking come down and kill one of my boys and kill you.
Yeah. The nonchalance of it. It's just like, well, that's what's going to happen. It's pretty great.
And we learned what his ability is. He is a regenerator. But unfortunately, it only kicks in on fatal injuries. Hence the bandages.
Yeah. And that he's still, the ravages of age still fucking hit his body.
There's a good repeated gag where, like, you know, he's seen the x-rays of his body after he takes that first knock and start episode. And,
oh, from the skyfish or whatever the fuck Leon keeps calling it.
From what I can tell, you couldn't really fix his backbone. It's just sort of arranged like a Jenga tower.
He just starts talking and then his spine just fucking falls out of alignment and he just collapses in a heap on the ground. That's not quite fatal. He's still breathing.
Whereas a sword through the face. Yeah, I can regenerate.
Oh yeah, that's
that.
Fatal.
Sure, it's like yourself in Bungo Stray Dogs. You can heal an injury, but only heal mortal wounds. So.
Yeah. Really fun episode. Like, just a fairly simple through line, the same as it was in the comic, pretty much, but with a few stuff added. But just really satisfying.
Yeah, the choreography on the chase is.
I want to rewatch it because it was just, there was so much fucking cool shit with the shipping containers just flying everywhere again. And the thing of the escalation of, oh, there's a bunch of guys behind me, I'll just shoot them. Oh, the truck that he's on is actually a giant missile battery. Oh yeah, that's fine, we'll just take care of that. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, like those action scenes in the comic, you know, The us kind of, that looked pretty good, but at times Night or Dark get confusing. It's kind of hard to follow it.
Sure, it's very busy, so that's bound to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this, like, I had a great sense of kind of place and the sporting were nodding around. I think it just seemed to be just a lot more effective laid out in here. It's kind of against the grain with some comics have come out in recent years, where a lot of people prefer how it was laid out on a printed page than it was on a TV show.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even in this show, like, they can do they can get across that tension of kineticism and motion a lot better when, you know, it just goes into a crazy fucking laser show in between shots. You're like, oh yeah, I get it, fast. That comes across better in video, obviously.
Oh yeah, going back to Inuyashiki, there's one thing which was really great in that is that punch when he hits the name
Samajima
and he spins a ridiculous amount of times before he hits the floor.
yeah. A satisfying amount of times.
It still had the same choreography of, like, making it clear that he doesn't know how to fight. It's just wild swings. Occasionally.
Just super strength,
I mean to say as well, for last few hours, I know that the Blood Blockade Battlefront ending theme is fucking kick-ass.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And also, it really is.
I also really like that they've subtitled the opening theme as well, because the lyrics are incredibly spot on for the show.
Yeah. I think Farrowhead, I didn't think so much as well, it's the same dude did the opening for Space Dandy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the animation for the ending is not quite as good as season one's, but it's still pretty great.
It gets across the same idea as season one, that it's a big old party.
Yes.
It doesn't appear as classy as season one, I guess, but it does appear freaking fun. And that's what I like about it,
They're nice drawings. And thinking I must like this, try and go back occasionally and just kind of screenshot some pictures of it.
Sure.
Look really cool.
Next up, Mr. Osomatsu, Osomatsu-san in the summer.
This is not an episode to watch on a cold day.
10 parts. Can we remember them all? Well, there was XR 1, 2, and 3. There you go. I'll get us started.
Yeah. that's part of it, done.
Jobo. It's just like a job thing with Mr. Flag. Hatable.
Yes.
It's a very short pun. Yeah.
There's the touch. I assume it's a touch parody.
The Mitsuru Adachi one. Yeah.
Yeah, after avoiding specific parodies. That was completely unmistakable. I wonder, I assume in those scenes in the anime there was loads of cicadas in the background where they make the joke of the brothers are now insects and they're drowning out these two people in love, because there's one thing they hate more than not being in relationships themselves is other people being in them.
Yeah. Well, if I can't have it, I'm going to ruin it for everyone else. Yeah.
Might possibly go for Totoko as well for her shot, where she goes out.
She's trying to ruin everyone's summer, yeah.
Yes, by blowing it up.
Murdering it. She does, like, explode a bunch of people, so I presume they're dead.
So the exile thing is Totti's out. Is it the two girls who he works at the coffee shop with, I think?
Yeah, I think it's the same two, if not it's similar kinds of girls. Yes. Yeah. Trendy girls.
And everything's going fine until his brothers constantly put him on a raft and send him out to sea, saying he's a criminal, don't help him.
I think 3 was the right number. It was still funny.
Yeah, because the third one was where he thought he was safe.
Yeah, because he wasn't going to go to the beach. That's where I get sent out to sea. I'm not going to go there.
Leans on a wall. It gives way. He goes down a slide to the sea. Onto a raft. Don't even bother tying him up this time. Jushibatsu doing calisthenics.
That was pretty funny too. Just him breaking physics with his madness. Good stuff. There was also the one where they're talking about how great it is that you can wear sunglasses and check out girls during the summer, and none of them picking up girls, and all of them annoyed at each other.
No, I'll go if you go. Well, fine, I'll go then. I'm fine here actually, in Grant. You go ahead. I don't want to spoil crappy style.
Oh, just the most horrifying one. Ayami Chibata finding summer too hot. So they go, what can we do? Oh, we're going to see that our scientist friend.
That was a good one. Yeah.
And they say, oh, our air conditioner is broken as well. And so,
so they start kicking up a fuss until they fix the problem. Yeah. He invents the ultimate VR that plugs into your brain by the look of it.
Yes. And then the building catches fire, but they still think it's really cold. So they think
and they're just going like, yeah, it's so cool, so cool. And the screams of that as the fire brigade is there with like, what can we do about this blazing inferno?
Just rubbing the fire to themselves. Oh, it feels good on my skin. Mm.
A lot of people die this episode, yeah.
Is the picking up one where they do the they try and make themselves interesting by going around telling everyone that they're sex templates?
They figured that's the one thing they got that nobody else has, but then they become kind of a freak show to the popular people.
Decapad and Dayan are put in charge of the fireworks.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Where Karamatsu is dressed up as the Summer Mass.
Superman.
Damn it, there's so much good shit in this episode. Yeah, it's actually hard to keep track. The only joke I could tell is he's going around being very summer positive and speaking English all the time. And that's pretty much it, and yet it was really fucking funny.
I wonder if it's just a parody of something specific else on TV. Oh,
okay. Right.
Because of the scores he's giving out. That makes me think that might be parodying something.
That this is a contest, but he's just messing up the numbering. Okay.
So apparently he is gifted magical powers where he can make everything summer.
But just for the summer?
Yes.
Mm.
Is that everything? I've been re-watching the Christmas episode because I was looking for clips for Mad Stravaganza. This is much better than the Christmas episode. I'd have to go back and look at the other sketch show ones, but this, I think, is the strongest one they've done.
I mean, like, there were some sketches that were okay, but then there would be one that was fucking hilarious. So, yeah, this is a pretty good sketch one.
The ones where they're looking at the women through their sunglasses is a good, like, this gets to the core of each of their characters.
Yeah, again, going through it. And I even the turnaround of it, instead of getting to the core of the character with Ichimatsu, they were all like, are you sure you want to do that? Don't push yourself. But it's how they all treat him, you know?
Yes.
Well, they know he's sensitive and delicate. Don't want to push him too far.
A new ending theme. I guess because they can't have the different people singing the same song this time round. I wonder if they're going to do like the Polar Bear Cafe thing of just having loads and loads of different songs sung by different cast members.
Okay.
Mm. Well, it does also, the ending was also kind of a summer themed segment, so maybe only do it this time.
I'll probably have to watch this next summer just to determine how summery this show is.
Yes. Next week, Iyami has arrived.
But he never left.
No, he's just been to France.
I don't believe him. And then finally, if I've been counting them correctly, it's Dragon Ball Super. I've just closed the thing which told me which episode it was.
Episode 114. Intimidating Passion. The birth of a new super warrior.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Hey, another good episode.
Again, it's just fighting, but it's good fighting, so yes.
Well, I think it was better fighting than built.
It was better animation,
well
too.
While I sat down last week. Mm. And we'll continue to build after this one, too.
Yeah. And you could see the animation pick up a little bit in places, especially like with still shots of people's faces, I guess, as they react to various things.
Yes. And we have a bit of Freezer action in there.
I thought for a second Goku and Frieza were going to fucking team up, and I was like, that would be fucking hilarious.
Ah.
Goku's like, hey, I'm fighting him. First, come on, buddy. Get in line.
I don't care. You just don't want to win, don't you? No, come on. Do this for me. Fine. Well, I'm watching you guys beat each other up, and it was kind of a hobby of mine. So.
And even Frieza's like about to shoot him in the back, and he's like, hey, Frieza, stop it. He's like,
okay. Oh, you got me, Goku. I'm sorry.
Who's the guy who's trying to unleash the power of his robot suit?
Oh, that's the guy I'm trying to figure out. I think he's supposed to be Hurricane Polymer or something, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Because he says Tornado or something in this one.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Doing his thing. First of all, it got interrupted, and then, you know, when they reset and Freeza is watching the Saiyans go fight, and he starts doing it again, and he's just like, watch this, I can run so fast, 3 times as fast as I can, man, catch me, ha ha ha. And then Freeza's just like, I'm just going to ignore that.
That just that was 17 great. Hit him or something.
I'm not sure anyone hit him. We haven't seen him yet. I don't know if he's ran straight off fucking stage or something.
Maybe it was in the preview. I did see a screenshot somewhere of 17 hitting him. So, because people are excited to see 17 back again because they're like not seen him for weeks.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Actually, a lot of focus.
And lots of hand holding. I thought it's a shame Goku and Vegeta never did that.
Well, they're not lesbians, are they?
Oh, but like, no, everything that's happened, as been said to him the last little while, Vegeta's fighting Toppo, and like they sense the big fight going on between Goku, Aiyafell, and Kale, and it's like, and whoa, I feel some immense energy over there. It's like Toppo's going, yeah, those Saiyans, something else. Like Goku is top of the pile, and Vegeta's going, well, amongst those Saiyans, you know, I'm the best one. And it's like, Toppo would just easily go, well, where have you been the last, according to the time of the episode, the tournament happening, the last 15 minutes or so? Did you not see what fucking Jiren did? Did you not see what Goku did back to him?
Yeah. You know, you and me, we're having the side fight right now, right?
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
I'm a second banana. I know a second banana when I see one.
Yeah.
We also get Dispo running away from Frieza. That's where he's supposed to. Yeah, he's like, oh, blimey, I'm not fighting him.
And evil.
Also, we open on Frieza just randomly fucking shooting lasers at people.
Who wants some of this? Shoop, shoop, shoop.
Yeah. Not playing fair, really, but, you know, I guess all's fair in this.
But yeah, the key thing, though, is Cauliflower calms Kale down. They push and push Goku until he...
They do some really good team stuff, which includes, like, hand-holding isn't just, like, the symbolic stuff, but it's actually, like, useful in their fighting.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of, like, Kale just, like, holding Goku back while Cauliflower works his stomach like a speed bag.
Yeah.
I've seen
they could be doing worse than him, but it was satisfying.
Yeah, I've seen people point out that this is forcing Goku to actually fight like a martial artist again.
I noticed a thing, like Kale had a hold of him, and he shoots an energy ball from his foot, and I think he is picking up stuff from his enemies. Like, that's obviously the, what's his name, the kicker?
Yeah.
Basil. I saw Kaba do that too a few episodes back.
Oh, okay.
And Goku can do Kamehamehas with his feet. He just chooses not to.
I suppose, yeah. Some really good Kaelin thing. I'm just disappointed it wasn't Cauliflower. I think that's the name they should have went for.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. It appears Goku's eliminated them, but we flash back to earlier when Champa had borrowed the earrings off Fuwa, his Kai?
Oh, I can't remember what his Kai is called. Yes. Yeah.
Onion Man.
Use these as a last resort.
And they're not technically a weapon.
I was
so going to
say,
okay.
Yes. I assume that
would
be the argument.
Also, it is cool, so I think they'll be fine.
Argument next week will be, well, Kale was already wearing earrings, and you didn't ban her from wearing those.
Yeah, technicality. But I mean, like, I'm fucking fine with it. It's pretty sweet.
I like the bit where they're being given them, though, where Cauliflower's like, oh, I don't want this, you have it, Kaba. And then Kale's like, yeah, I don't want this either, you have this one as well. Like, no!
No, it won't work if you do it. God damn it, guys.
And the other thing, of course, is once they've used that, annoyed loads of Dragon Ball Z fans.
Why?
Who take this very seriously. Power levels and whatnot.
Yeah, but like fusion multiplies power, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I know. Yes. Doesn't it?
They were scared of the two little fucking kids when they fuse, because it's like, oh shit, that's like multiplied tenfold or something. Yeah, it's not power level plus power level, it's multiplied by power level. Yeah. That's how it's always worked, right?
It is, yeah, I know, but it was like, oh, he's Super Saiyan God, that shouldn't be... Fusing shouldn't be more powerful than Super Saiyan God.
Fuck, like... power levels are arbitrary. They'll fucking come up with something beyond Super Saiyan God.
Exactly,
if
yeah.
It goes
they,
on for
they
a
already
long
have.
Long. They already have. They already have. What am I fucking saying?
They have blue and now fucking Ultra Instinct.
Now there's Ultra Blue Instinct Super Saiyan God King Kai by 300 Super Saiyan.
Also, people complaining about why they're more powerful than Cowbird. It's like, were you not watching the show? They explained all this.
Yeah, they're badass.
That universe's Saiyans are very peaceful and not warlike, except for Cauliflower. She was pointed out as being the one rowdy Saiyan in that universe.
And Cabba's thing is he's like a protector of justice, so that's how he's gotten as strong as he has.
Anyway,
you can see from Kale that she's that they're kind of a peaceful race. Like, there's no Saiyan like her so far.
And this is what they want. They want kind of cool fighting action. Why are they getting mad at us?
I don't know. It's girls, I think, is a big part of it.
That you're probably right. That's probably fucking it.
But at the same time, I imagine there's far more people who are super okay with it. But it is funny just to see the people who get upset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, this is the Dragon Ball that I fucking grew up with. I was like, this is better. This is just as good, if not better, than the fucking old Dragon Ball. It's exactly what the Dragon Ball everyone has been wanting is. Yeah.
I'm probably super mad that in the new fighting game coming out that out of the androids, 18 is the main kind of main character you can play as, and then 17 is support guy comes in for some of the moves.
I'm generally on 18 over 17 as a thing.
And
she's
a
more
better.
Interesting character. Yeah, we've gotten to know her better, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes, and then they introduced another android, who's also a woman.
Yeah, which everyone loves as well.
Yes, well, she's got that great mauled dress on, hasn't she?
Yeah, it's for that.
It's a good look. It's a good look. Yeah.
It's really in keeping with how androids like dress when they come out of the tube. Like, very, very strange, like melange of different styles and influences.
So, like, the 17 and 18 came from like the 90s. So she's from the 60s or something.
Yes, this was a lot of fun. I can't remember what the preview showed us. Was it just more fighting? Yes,
I think it was more fighting. It's called like Super Saiyan Blue Defeated.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to use his Super Saiyan Blue. Oh, his Blue King Kai Fist. He's going to have to use. He says
Blue King Kai Fist, Ultra Instinct, fucking double super
special beam by
three.
Yes.
Yeah, just fucking like stop complaining about power levels. They're like, I think Dragon Ball of all fucking things knows that power levels are a fucking joke because you can just add another one on top.
Yeah. Or just not explain why they're strong in this air in the case of Jiren.
I assume that's going to get explained eventually. But
I'm going to guess we're going to see some of these people's backgrounds. I've been reading comics who currently have tournament arcs. I was like, it's obviously, remember the very first Dragon Ball tournament arc is Goku goes in, he does not win it.
Yeah, that's the gold standard.
He doesn't win two tournaments in a row before he eventually.
You got to work for that.
For a third one, he enters. Yeah.
Black Clover has managed to go one further than the My Hero Academia in its having the climax happen before the actual end of the tournament. In its current tournament, they never even got to the final. They had to get to the semi-final and said, well, I guess as the people in the other semi-final both knocked each other out, this will have to be the final.
Okay. Thomas got interrupted by some kind of villainous
world threat or something.
I think this story, that's the thing I love about Black Clover is people think it's going to be like One Piece or Naruto. I want to be the Hokage. I want to be the Pirate King. But that's only the surface thing. The real thing is really about a fictional feudal European country and the tensions between nobility and the peasants. And this tournament arc is that's spilled out because they introduced a character who is. If he had gone through all the development that a main character would in a Shonen Jump story, he'd be the main character. But instead, he wasn't the main character, and although all that stuff just has boiled up and seethed inside him into a boiling mass of class war hatred. And yeah, so it's nice to see him sort of unleashed against all the other characters as like a nice contrast. But I 51 episodes, I think they've said, haven't they, for this?
We have, yeah, 51, yeah. Actually, Dragon Ball Super is going to, this arc is going to run until the middle of March or the end of March.
How is it going to? We only got 21 minutes left in the tournament.
Well, that's why I bring up the idea that the tournament might not end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, there's obviously, they're trying to set up some more stuff after.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the stuff with Oob and stuff. I think that's the next arc or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's yeah, we'll see. Obviously, they've laid that, we know Frieza is planning on doing something.
Yes, yes. Will there be called off due to interference kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will people who've been trying to beat each other to save the universes have to team up?
Except for the guys who are gone.
Well, they might wish them back into existence. I assume they've got the Dragon Balls there. They're not going to... You've won. We better go and find them now.
Yeah.
We're always throwing the Dragon Balls until the end of the tournament. It's tournament Universe 9. Ooh.
I guess that is the safest place for them, then. Yeah.
Righty-ho. Anything else to add this week? I think Land of the Lustrous is...
Yep, I caught up on that. Some nice new developments there, and you get a lot more information about how this plan has evolved and what is the deal with those moon people, why are they going to do this. And kind of a bit more on Foss as well, because it's kind of all centering around her and kind of come to terms with, like, she's been given this job and she wants to do it, but she feels like there's some kind of thing inherent in her that she just can't really kind of apply herself to it.
Mm.
And also, there's some nice kind of scenes there where she is just feeling kind of this uncertain about the reason for her own existence. And that's kind of put against, because they still have the slug from the previous episodes now, which she can talk to. And it has like a different view on life and existence than Foss does, because, you know, Foss is a mineral person and
is immortal, essentially.
Is a flesh and blood being, so it's got a different outlook on existence and reminds it about that. But I think it's kind of interesting, though, how the mineral people then have view their own existence and view their own, like, kind of concept of the soul and the mind and that kind of thing.
Mm.
Some nice stuff in there. Also, some really cool action, because, of course, some people show up and some good scenes happen with that. Pretty nice. I'm quite taken with it now, and I'm definitely, like, well used to the way it looks, because more often than not, I find the... I guess I've adjusted to the animation style, and more often than not, I just am immersed in the better-looking, better running parts of it than I am put off by the occasional sort of slow, kind of juddery bits.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, I watched Time Bokeh.
Oh, yeah.
Is
it a good show, or is it pretending to be a bad show, which still requires me to watch a bad show?
No, it's a different show, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
It's definitely not as good as the first season, because I rewatched the Christmas episode of that for similar reasons to rewatching Mr. Osomatsu's. And I was like, oh, no, the sense of anarchy is gone. But there is still a degree of disrespect for historical figures going on.
Sure, sure.
This week, they went to see the guy who wrote I Am a Cat. I forget his name. And they were kind of like, well, he may be a great author, but he's a really rude man, the villains were thinking when they came in to meet him. But yeah, it's fine. Obviously, the Christmas episode was a peak in the original series. It was peaks and troughs there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's eminently watchable. But yeah, you just have to deal a bit with the disappointment that it's not season one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being the sort of person I am, I'm really curious as to why it's not.
Right.
What went on? Will we ever know?
Mm, yeah.
Will they manage to do some sort of subliminal explanation in the show towards the end. Because you occasionally get that, of punching through the fourth wall to let air your grievances about the show you've been forced to make.
Yeah. Look at One Piece movie 6. Make a whole film about it.
I was going to say that. Yeah, not about One Piece, but about a different film.
Yeah.
We should say, I should probably check out Yo-Kai Watch to see if there's any episodes of Yo-Kai Watch which are a commentary on Time Bokeh. I think he's still writing that, so... You'd probably get away with it in Yo-Kai Watch.
You could say it's a ghost of its former self. Whoa!
Righty-ho! That ends this week's episode. Let's go. Before we say goodbye, let's find out what's coming up on this week's Secret of the Sailor Madness and Dynamite in the Brain.
We didn't have time, because both me and Dwayne were at a friend's wedding over the weekend, so we didn't really have the kind of spare moment to kind of just drop, get out of the suit. And sit down. We'll talk about some cartoons. So, and also, like I'm preparing for a convention that you're also going to, Brian, and have to do a lot of work for.
Well, so, I have no weddings to go to, so I have recorded. As this is out, we have just put up the Boy and the Beast episode with Lewis as a guest, and then after that, we'll have our famous anime podcast, also with Lewis. It will be the second part of our coverage of light novel anime. This time between about 1990 and 93-94, I think, if I remember correctly. Lots of stuff you've never heard of, lots of stuff we'd never heard of. So, probably not famous, but find out for yourselves by listening to that podcast. And then after that, I do believe it's Steam Boy. Even though the Blu-rays were delayed, I've got it on DVD, so we can still do an episode about it.
I wonder if you'll... A lot of people's opinions have kind of rotated a bit on that, or been kind of softened over the years.
Yes,
I'm curious as to what distance does to it. Yeah,
I liked it, so who knows what might will happen to me? Maybe I will dislike it this time round.
Uh oh,
we might do a flip. Righty ho, we'll be back next week with more. Let's go, gang. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, man.